This workshop is the last event being funded by the Gendered Ceremony and Ritual in Parliament program, which I directed from 2007 to 2012, and was funded by the Leverhulme Trust. So the workshop takes the focus from ceremony and ritual to a broader understanding of political aesthetics. And this means, of course, that the institutional politics of Parliament gets stretched to a much wider spectrum of state and non-state politics. So together with thanking you, I thank also the Leverhulme Trust for its support. I would also like to thank my department, Department of Politics and International Studies. It has given me sterling support in organizing this workshop, and particularly I want to thank Jill, Denise, Daz, who did all the IT stuff, and Theologia Elaidu, who has made the beautiful poster, which I hope you like. And several of you have said that you do like. So unfortunately, as you can see, Arundhati is not here. She has had to travel to New Delhi on dates not of her choosing, because she's just published a major atlas on Indian history, and there were things that she needed to do. So she regrets very much missing this event, but of course we continue to work together and will be co-editing the volume that we hope that many of you will contribute to. I also have to give apologies from Roland Bleicher, who has had to pull out because of health reasons. So what impelled us to organize this workshop on aesthetics of power and protest? We obviously could not have anticipated the political fallout of a film at the very time we are meeting. Yet this event, which is consuming so much of our current world politics, indicates the importance of aesthetics of power and protest. Our interest developed from our own work on Indian colonial and post-colonial history and politics. I've been working on the commissioning of murals and statues depicting the history of India for decorating the Indian Parliament after independence, and Arundhati has written a wonderful book on the Indian national flag and its development. We have both been struck, as have many others who work in this area, by the importance of emotion in politics and how it is harnessed for political purposes so effectively through art. But of course, art does more than that. It makes us human. If we agree with Joseph Roach that the meaning of aesthetics is the vitality and sensuous presence of material forms, then that vitality and presence, as well as our potential to create or at least appreciate beauty, makes us human. It gestures towards our potential for rising above our condition. We can theorize all we like about the tethering of art and social relations, the framing of aesthetics by relations of privilege and struggles over meaning, but somewhere we carry within us the hope that art will rescue us from our present, create new spaces and new politics by addressing our essential humanity. Last week I was at a meeting organized by the local Justice for Palestine group, and the MP there reminded us of the wonderful exhibition of Palestinian children that the JFP had organized. He said seeing those pictures would help people understand that these children were just like their own. They were real, not just a category of victim. So there it is. We see a promise in art that makes people real through the pictures they draw, songs they sing, and beauty they create in landscapes of conflict. And that is the emotional part of aesthetics that we wish to explore. The hope of redemption in context of deep political inequalities. We are, of course, also conscious of the fragility of this beauty, of the ugliness that laps around and generates other emotions of hate and fear, also harnessed politically, a reminder of the limits of the potential of aesthetics. Of course, there are many ways of approaching aesthetics, and I think all of us in this room are quite aware of the debates on aesthetics that have been based largely on the contestation with Kant and his approach to subjectivity and universality of judgment of taste. So for Marcuse, for example, authentic art represents the truth of the world as it is. For Bourdieu, art is framed and reproduces the distinctions of social class. And for Rancière, it holds the promise of agential equality in an unequal world. Our approach was largely sympathetic to these and open to these debates, but it also focuses on the production of art by and through the state and capital. And in so doing, we try to understand how the readings of art affect the reproduction and circulation of privilege as well as its contestation. And I'm sure that we will be hearing a lot more about these debates during the day. In the context of social performance, Jeffrey Alexander has spoken of refusion, when the suspension of disbelief secures the deposition of power. I think similar processes take place in the field of aesthetics. Constructing a state out of the political struggles against colonialism needs a smoothing of the contours of these struggles, of folding multiple histories into the history of the nation through the aesthetics of both everyday rituals and hypervisible ceremonies, of flags and the ceremonies to unfurl or take them down, of art reflecting political imaginations of elites and of the subaltern. So those were the impulses that sort of, you know, we had in order to sort of, you know, start on this project. But we also thought that we would like to explore how art works through everyday lives, and how the employment of aesthetics, of everyday objects of use, such as calendars, leisure activities, such as films and going to museums, public displays of arts and modes of communication, such as humor, and even vulgarity, the grotesque, as Achille Mbembe called it. And of course, Partha Mitter's work on Indian nationalist art also inspired us, because he so sharply outlined aesthetics as that aesthetics has developed across historical boundaries, not in any linear way, but through struggles of and for meanings, also through reciprocity and intercultural dialogue. So it's not simply about the state, but it's also about cross-border and cross-cultural dialogue on aesthetics. Our focus is also on post-colonial. Our focus on post-colonial ethics, aesthetics, also allowed us to deconstruct the way in which art has been historically used to mark difference between rulers and the ruled, of course, but also between peoples, differences on grounds of gender, caste, and sexuality. National boundaries have been given form not only through political and military arrangements, but also through delineating art boundaries. Nations have been invoked through color, dress, film, and theater. Contestations about sovereignty have translated into and through cataloging of art in museums, architectural styles of public buildings, national anthems, and political symbols, as much as through boundaries and borders dividing lands and people. So I think, having said all this, I think our three terms, aesthetics, power, and protest, then continue to stress and continue to search for idioms that give visibility to politics. If today aesthetics risks becoming an overused term referring to a variety of historical situations and groups, its relevance nonetheless as a connecting filament between individual, state, and society remains strong. The papers that will be presented today reflect these concerns very well indeed. The interdisciplinary range of the papers also promises a deepening of our understanding of the dynamics of politics and political spaces and the politics of aesthetics. We anticipate that our discussions today will challenge us to question traditional political chronology and periodicity, accepted ruptures between tradition and modernity, and emphasize instead the partial continuities, jumps, and erasures between past and the present. So I'm really looking forward to our discussions today from so many different disciplines. And I hope that you'll agree that this workshop is not a mere gesture to aesthetics that keep it on the margins of the body politic. Rather, it sees aesthetics as politics manifest. So with that, I think I'd pass over to Nick, who's chairing the first panel. Thank you.